I was thinking about, as most of us, starting this new year, and I thought it'd be a good time to see what the Bible says about having a great year. You guys agree? Yes. Okay. And a passage came to mind. I'm going to read that passage. If you have your Bibles, it's in Galatians 5. And it goes like this. Starting in verse 14, it says, "For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." You could maybe say you're not free to carry out your New Year's resolutions. I don't know. Your good intentions. "But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, and dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." And the two verses that we're going to be focusing on over the next few weeks are this. In Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." I just love that God's word relates so well to where we are in 2017, in this year. So, I wanted to focus on, for the next few weeks, I wanted to focus on the 9 things that are mentioned in Galatians 5:22 and 23. The 9 fruit of the Spirit, as it talks about. Because I don't think there's anything that we could, any kind of New Year's resolution or anything that we could want more than to live healthy and holy in 2017. My hope is that this will be a great year for you. My hope is that this will be a year where your relationship to God and your relationship to others flourishes and is growing healthier every day. That passage says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And this passage gives us 9 results, or 9 characteristics of a Spirit-filled life. So today we're going to start on the very first one. We're going to start on talking about love. And if we're going to talk about a healthy life and healthy relationships in this year, in 2017, you probably guess that we would start with love. A lot of people have a question about that. You know, well, what's the secret to love? You know, it's sort of mysterious. A lot of times we don't know why it acts like it acts. Why does love in our lives go from exciting to exhausting to expired? You know, the same love for the same person. What makes that happen? Why does the Bible say the greatest of these is love? In fact, a lot of versions in the verse that I just read in Galatians 5, they say the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit, they're talking about one fruit, is. It's interesting that he uses a singular verb there rather than fruits are. So that leads a lot of scholars to believe that love is part of every other fruit mentioned. Love, joy, love, peace, love, patience, love, kindness, love, goodness, love, faithfulness, love, gentleness, love, self-control. Love is the important part. So we're going to talk today about how to develop the kind of love that can last for a lifetime. It can last for a lifetime in your marriage, with your kids, with your parents, with friendships, with other believers, with people at work. The kind of love that can last a lifetime. And that's the kind of love that I want. And I think the kind of love that you would want this year. I found out that, and I'm a long ways from it, but I found out that teenage love will not satisfy a middle-aged couple. Okay? And I'm afraid I'm past the middle-aged part. You know, we need love that lasts a lifetime. Puppy love does not last through the dog days of life. Okay? I want the kind of love in my life that lasts longer than a two-hour movie or a 210-page novel. You know, today we're going to talk about that kind of love and how it can happen in each one of our lives. And there's two simple questions, two simple things that you can do to kind of keep love alive, and we're going to look at that. The first is ask what love is. And the second is act like love acts. Ask what love is. How do you do that? There are a couple popular misconceptions about what love really is, based on the fact that love is a word that we use in so many different ways. If we're going to really understand how to love somebody, we have to start with understanding what it is. You know, we use the word love for everything. I say, I love my wife and I love pepperoni pizza. You know, it's based on the fact that love is a word that we can use so many ways. If we're really going to understand how to love somebody, we have to start with understanding what is it, what it is. What does the word mean? And that's the key. I'm going to learn to love for a lifetime. I've got to understand what this word is all about. There's popular misconceptions that really hurt us when it comes to understanding love and how it works in our lives. One misconception is love is only a feeling. That's all there is to it. You know, this feeling, it's a quiver in my liver. You know, it's an ocean of emotion. That's love, you know. But love is more than a feeling. It affects my feelings powerfully, but it's more than just a feeling. Here's another misconception. Love is uncontrollable. And we've all heard this. You know, a lot of people use words like, I feel giddy. I'm in love. You know, my heart's spinning. I'm in love. I'm weak in the knees. You know, it sounds more like they're seasick than love struck. But that's what people say to describe love. You know, we've all heard people say, have you ever heard somebody say, I fell in love? Okay. Anybody ever heard somebody say, I fell in love? I'm the only one? Okay. You're afraid to raise your hand because you're afraid I'm going to, like, pick on you. Okay. You know, I fell in love. Like you're walking down the street one day and you trip and you fell in love, you know. And you couldn't help it. You know, there's a real danger to this misconception. When you say I fell in love, you're really saying it wasn't my fault. It just happened to me. I fell in love with you. Or, I fell out of love with you. I couldn't help it. How do you develop the kind of love that lasts? You have to understand what real love is all about. God has a different kind of love in our lives. The Bible says that love is controllable. You don't just fall into it. Jesus commanded that we love one another. In that first verse that I read in Galatians 5, it said, love your neighbor as yourself. That was a commandment. You and I have control over who we love and who we don't love. We get to choose. I have control over when I love and when I don't love. I get to choose. And this leads us to a couple things that God says about love. He helps us to understand what it really is. First, God says love is a choice. In your outlines, there's a verse in it that says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. That comes right out of the love chapter. Okay? You might underline that, put on love. I choose to put it on. There's an action that I take that makes it work in my life. If it were a feeling or just an accident, then God wouldn't command it. He couldn't command it, but he can command an action in our lives. Here's the second thing. That God says love is a matter of conduct. It's how I act. 1 John 3:18 says, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. I love that word, actions. That's what love is really all about. It's how I act towards another person. You can talk until you're blue in the face, but your heart will always be red in your actions. Always. So you take these two things and you put them together. You know, love is a matter of choice and love is a matter of conduct. And you realize that the real key to all of this is the second point. And that's act like love acts. Act like love acts. But the real questions are, how is love supposed to act? You know, who gets to tell us how it's supposed to act? Is it Hollywood? Oh, I don't think so. You know, for most of our lives, that's who has been telling us. Hollywood's idea of how love is supposed to act ranges from sentimental to cynical to sexual. You know, sentimental love means never having to say you're sorry. You know, or cynical, Tina Turner, what's love got to do with it? I was going to sing it, but I can't sing like Tina Turner. Or sexual, pick any of 100 movies, unfortunately. And that's what Hollywood tells us love is to act like. That's not love. You know, I don't want to let Hollywood define how love acts. Fortunately, I don't have to. Fortunately, the God who thought all of this up in the first place, who made us to be loving people, the God who is love, he tells us how love acts. In 1 Corinthians 13 in the New Testament is a definition of how love acts. It's called the love chapter sometimes. I read it at weddings a lot. It tells us here how love acts. It says love is kind. It's patient. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. And is not provoked. It gives us this list of how love acts. Diane found a plaque of how love acts, and she placed it right next to my place of meditation, the toilet. So every time I use it, I get to read how love acts. So I want us to take this list and let it help us evaluate how healthy our relationships that we have, our marriage relationship, our relationship with our parents or with our kids or with our friends. How healthy are our relationships? And this is a series on healthy, spirit-filled living in 2017. How love acts and how I'm doing with that tells me whether my life and my relationships are healthy or not. Love is patient. If I'm going to evaluate how that works in my life, it helps me to see whether my love is alive or whether it's in trouble. Love and patience tells me that love is alive when it has time. You spell patience, T-I-M-E. It tells me that love is dying when it's hurried or in a rush. It tells me that love is dead when it cannot wait. Love and patience means it has to take time. We spend so much of the time of our lives in the waiting room, and we wait for marriage, we wait for children, we wait for illness to pass, for a dream to happen. We have to wait together for a lot of things. You have to be patient. That has to be part of our relationships. But the most important part isn't waiting with each other. It's when we have to wait for each other. And that's when we really struggle. Scripture says, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Patience means I make allowances for the faults of another person. Patience means not only waiting with somebody, but waiting for somebody. Patience means I take the time to wait for someone else to change. Wait for somebody to recover. Make an allowance for each other's faults, to wait for someone to get motivated. That's the tough part of love. I remember when my granddaughter Haley decided to come a couple months early. So AJ was calmly driving over the speed limit, running stoplights on the way to the hospital, and I was in the garage waiting patiently for my wife to come. And I waited, and I waited, and I'm thinking, this is an emergency. And so in patience, I started honking the horn. That's not the right way to do it, just so you know. And Diane comes, and I said, what's going on? She said, well, I'm going to be a grandma. I didn't know what clothes to wear. I wasn't being patient. You know, I find strength and motivation to be patient with other people when I remember God's patience with me. God is, he is so patient with me. He's so patient with us. I make the same mistake again and again and again, and I go to him asking for forgiveness, and he patiently forgives me again and again and again. That's patience. If the God who made the universe can take time to wait for you and I, then we can learn from him to take time to wait for another, to make allowances for each other's faults, because that's part of what love is. Friends, love is alive when it has the time. The second thing, love is alive when it cares. It is dying when it forgets, is dead when it ignores. Love is kind. And that means it cares. That's a word we use a lot, but what does it mean? It means kindness. Kindness means the ability to care for each other in practical details of everyday life. Kindness knows how to turn the grand vows that you make in a wedding ceremony into washing dishes and taking out the trash, even if it's not your turn or not your responsibility. Kindness knows how to take the great hopes that you have in a hospital nursery and turn them into changing dirty diapers. Okay? And staying up with sick kids. That's kindness. That's what it's all about. And love is kind. Love knows how to care. Kindness means that I have to adapt to meet the practical needs of another person. It wouldn't be so hard if I didn't have to change, to adapt, to give up some of my time. But that's what it means. I've noticed, even when it comes to kindness, sometimes we struggle with that. We don't know how to be kind to each other. You know, I was in a store the other day looking at cards, okay? And they kind of cracked me up. And so I was looking at some, you know, that said, I love you and I want to kindly tell you how important you are to me. I'm like, I don't think I would choose that one. That's a little bit wordy for me. One I picked up said, if I had an ice cream cone, I would give you half. If I had six candies, you'd get three. If I had two apples, one would be yours. If I won the lottery, I'd send you a postcard from Tahiti. Kind, loving words. Another one, this was like a Valentine's Day type card. That one day of the year when we all like to hear these three little words said, chocolate isn't fattening. Not sure what that had to do with it. So we need to learn to be kind. It's okay to say kind words to another. It's okay to act in kind ways. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Boy, that's a big word, giving. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God has forgiven you. If I'm going to be kind to another person, I have to have a tender heart towards them. I have to realize that they're a person just like me, with feelings just like me, with struggles just like me. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to lose compassion? To lose compassion for people who are closest to you? That's the sad part. People that you're living with, kindness happens when I realize that they have feelings just like me. And kindness means I take time to forgive. God says it's kind to forgive one another just as God has forgiven you. You know, we all sin. And I don't know if any of you avoided walking under the sign that said no perfect people allowed. I know some of you come in the other door. But we all sin. And because of that, forgiveness has to be part of any relationship. It does. Any relationship in love. The only way that I can have a relationship of love with God, the only reason I can, is because he's willing to forgive me. The only way that we can have relationships with each other is by being kind enough to forgive each other. No one deserves forgiveness. That's why it's kind to forgive. You know, I didn't deserve the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but he forgave me. I found that that's where I can find the strength to forgive somebody else. It's because of the fact that he's forgiven me. I found that in the power of being forgiven is the power to forgive another person, to be forgiving. Kindness means I have a tender heart and a forgiving heart towards other people. So love is alive when it cares. Third, love is alive when it is secure. When it has the strength and foundation of security, it's dying when it starts doubting. Why did they do this or that? And it's dead when it stops trusting. Trust is, I think, the center point of a relationship. In verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And behind those three words, envy, boast, and proud, you could write, that equals insecurity. You know, the reason I envy is because I'm insecure. Maybe somebody has something better than what I have. The reason I boast or I'm prideful is because of insecurity in my own life. Security is one of the number one issues in relationships. It's what makes relationships work. I have to build into my life a new kind of security if I'm going to strengthen a relationship. If I'm going to have healthy relationships this year. If you take any relationship and you add just a little bit of insecurity, you can make it very unhealthy. You might ask yourself, what am I doing to add insecurity to my relationships? God says no matter what happens, he says to us, no matter what you do, no matter what happens in your life, I love you. We have that security in him. And love is alive when it's secure. Fourth, love is alive when it's giving. It's dying when it's exchanging. You know, you do this for me and I'll do this for you. Bartering, it's dead when it's taking, when it's selfish. You know, there's all different kinds of relationships that we have. We have give and take relationships. I take and you give. You know, we also have fair exchange relationships. You do this for me and I'll do that for you. But the best relationship, the most healthy kind of relationship, is a give and give relationship. Both people giving because they've decided they want to give, not forced to. It's their decision. It's their choice. Love is alive when it's giving. There's a real question in this when I talk about love is giving, a give and give relationship. Some of you have already thought this through. Well, what happens when I give and they don't? Ah. You know, what am I going to do then? And you're thinking, it's a big risk. You know, I'll wait for them to give first, and then I'll give. Everybody is waiting for somebody to give to them first, then they'll reciprocate. God didn't wait for us to give. You know, he gave himself to us before we even recognized him. His advice to us is to begin the process by being the person who gives. Some of you are thinking, well, I can't do that. That's a terrible risk. If I give and they don't, won't they take advantage of me? Yes, they could take advantage of you. To love is to put yourself in a vulnerable situation. Love is dangerous, but it's worth the risk. Not to harden my heart and live an empty life. It's worth the risk. Love is giving. That's when it is alive. And the fifth thing, love is alive when it acts its way into a feeling. It's dying when it feels but doesn't act. Have you discovered this amazing truth? That your actions tremendously impact your feelings. You know, by the way you act, you can change the way you feel. And that's what most, that's one of the most exciting discoveries in life. If you hadn't discovered that, I've had people make this comment to me many times. I don't love him or her or my parents, my kids, whoever it is. I don't love them anymore. What's wrong with me? And the advice I always give to people in these kinds of situations is begin to act like you love them. Begin to act like you love them. The response is always, act like I love them. How can I do that? How can I act like I love them when I don't feel like I love them? You know, so many times we get the cart before the horse. The way that you act can change the way that you feel. When you begin to act in kindness towards someone, compassion, tender-hearted, forgiving, with patience, it will change the way you feel about them. Here's God's advice to us about how to do that. It says, love always protects. Always. Even when I feel like abandoning you, I will protect our love. Love always trusts. Even though I feel like hating you, I will learn to trust you. Love always hopes. Even if I feel like there's no future, I'll look forward to my future with you. And love always perseveres. Even when every bone in my body says I want to run and hide, I'm going to stick through this with you. Love can act its way into a brand new way of feeling. So here's three simple questions that I'd like to end this morning's talk with. Three simple questions. How do I keep a love alive? One, don't take it for granted. You know, keep doing the things that we've talked about this morning, kindness, caring, patience, time, and actions, not just feelings. You have to keep doing those things. You and I know hundreds of people who can tell you how easily a love can die. We've all heard it. They can tell you what seems so alive one day seemed dead the next just because they begin to take it for granted. If you have a love in your life that's working, that's a special jewel. So don't take it for granted. Here's a second question. How do I handle a love that's dying? We'll talk about this some more in this series, but for today, just let me share one thing with you. Act in love, not in fear. Amen. I just love it when Naomi gives me an amen. Act in love, not in fear. If a love is dying in your life, it's likely that you're very afraid. It's so easy to want to cling to it in fear. It's only through love, the simple actions of love, that we can change a relationship, that we can begin to make it alive and healthy again. And here's a third question. How do I handle a love that's died? What do I do about that? It's dead. It's gone. It's buried. I'd say don't give up. Just because it's dead, we have a God who specializes in resurrections. Amen? If he can resurrect Jesus Christ from the tomb, he can resurrect a relationship. The question is, how big is your God? You know, how do you do that? You act your way into a feeling. You begin to persevere again. Some of you are thinking, I don't want to hope one more time. I don't want to make myself vulnerable again. If there's a smallest amount of hope left in your relationship, with your parents or your children, your husband, your wife, if there's a smallest opportunity left, take the risk to love. It takes two people to make it work. I realize that. But don't let you yourself be the person who's keeping it from working. Make the choice to love. That's your choice that you can make. I deeply believe that in order to love, I have to be loved. And it all starts with God's love for me, with God's love for you. When I recognize that he loves me no matter what, sacrificially, with actions of love, then I can find the strength to look for a resurrection of love. I can find the strength to risk. Even if they let me down, God never will. Then I can find the strength to act in love, the real kind of love that God tells us about. Today, some of you need to begin to discover that kind of love that God has for you. You need to trust Christ with your life in this new year, 2017. Maybe you came here and you've got relationships that are on the brink of dying. Maybe you've given up hope. I encourage you, this is the time to act in love. Don't give up hope. Don't give up, because God never gave up on you, and he never will. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how it relates to our lives. And Lord, I don't know what's going on in people's lives here today. But I do know that no matter what's going on, that you love them in every way that we talked about. So Lord, I just pray that as we begin this new year, that we would operate in love with relationships of those who we are around and those in our lives. Lord, that just as you have not given up on us, that we would not give up on those relationships. Lord, I pray that love would be the focus of bringing about a healthy and holy relationship with those that we love this year. I pray that you would resurrect and restore people, that you would give them hope again. Maybe they're here this morning and they've given up hope. Lord, I pray that you would renew that hope in them. I pray that each one of us would look to you, as our Savior and as our hope for this new year. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.